Okay, we're going to get started. And we will pray and then we'll read the Bible. Father in heaven, bless your word now that we would open and read your word. You said that the kingdom of God was not eating and drinking, but love and joy and peace and righteousness. These inner things, these spiritual things that you teach us and work in our hearts. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. That the kingdom of God is in us. That the kingdom of God grows as large as the mustard plant, the mustard tree. That even the birds of the air can nest in its branches. Bears much fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so I pray, Father, help us to hear your word and be changed. Help us to grow in Christ. Help us to love you more. Help us to hear your voice and worship you and bow before you. O Lord, help me not to preach in my own words, in my own wisdom, fleshly wisdom. Grant me utterance, I pray, by your Spirit. Lord, if any of the people in this room have difficulty understanding English, I pray that you would help them to understand enough today to be saved. Please, Lord, speak to them, speak to their hearts. For anyone here that's lost and that is a sinner, or hypocrite, or false, I pray that you would show them the mercy in Jesus Christ that they need. And Father, for all of your people, I pray, give us the living bread. Feed us with the finest of wheat that we might be strong in you and persevere and endure and go on from one degree of glory to the next. You promised us that he whose heart is clean, whose hands are clean, grows stronger and stronger, that the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the full day, and that we're changed from one degree of glory to the next. Help us today to move up on the path in following you. Lord, we need you and look to you, and we pray, be with us. Teach us, speak to us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus is the second book in the Old Testament. If you have a New Testament, you won't find it. But in the Old Testament, we're going to read the laws of God. Exodus 20. Today, our main verse that we will start with is verse 16. And I'm going to use this verse and I'm going to jump into the subject of lying. And we're going to look at several verses like last time. But before we start to explain and hear this, why preach about God's laws? Let me remind you again. I hope this is now week number 9 of going through some of God's laws in the Ten Commandments. I hope by now you could give this introduction yourself. Why do we need the law? Because if you're lost, if you're not a Christian, chances are good that you think you are a righteous person. Are you a good person? Many people say yes, but they're wrong. Every person is bad. Every person is a sinner. Every person has done evil things against man and against God. This world is full of sin. God will destroy this world, and He will destroy sinners. He will destroy the devil. He will destroy everything that is evil. God loves good and righteousness, and God hates evil and sin. He is like the king. It is the king's duty to uphold justice in his kingdom. If there are criminals, he must punish them. He must put them in jail or he must put them to death. The king has a responsibility to uphold peace and justice and righteousness in his land. Well, we live in God's world, and God is king. Not the police, not the government, God. God made you, and God gave you a mind and a heart, and God gave you a conscience. And even before we read this Bible, in your own life, in your own mind, you know right and wrong. You know good and evil. Today I'm going to preach on verse 16. It says, "You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." This means lying, telling a lie. You know in your heart it is wrong to lie. I don't have to show you that from the Bible, but when we look at God's law, it makes it even clearer in your mind so that it's not just my opinion, my thoughts, and your thoughts. These are God's thoughts. And there will come a day when you will be judged by God's law. Jesus said, "My word which I spoke to you will judge you on the last day." And he said, "You will be judged by Moses in whom you have put your hope." So men are under God's law. Every man from birth is lost, is a sinner. And as you grow up, as you get older, year after year, day after day, you break these laws and you become guilty. The law shows you your sin. So my hope is that today, I'm not preaching my own message. I'm not giving you my advice. This is the Word of God. And I hope that today you realize, if you're not saved, you realize you have broken God's law and you are a liar. And you have told many lies, and because you have lied, you have sinned against God, and you will be punished by God. I tell you that so that you understand, so that you wake up. Most people are asleep, and they're happy, and they're joyful, and they think that they're good. But actually, when you read the law, it reminds us, no, man is not good. Man is a sinner, and you are a sinner, and you need Jesus Christ. The law prepares someone's heart and mind. When they understand they're a sinner, then they can come to Christ and be saved. Christ came to save sinners. He did not come to live among good people and make them better. He came to sinners to save them, to make a sacrifice for them. So if you're lost, if you are not a Christian, not a true Christian, today I hope you hear this law and you realize you have broken this law and you need Christ. Christ can forgive us of all sin. Christ can wash us and make us clean in God's sight. For the Christian, why is it important? For the Christian, I don't come to give any condemnation, to give any guilt, to give any pressure by means of the law, because The Bible says the Christian's a new creation and he's not under the law. That's amazing. We have been released from the law through the body of Jesus Christ. It means that we're in the realm of grace. The law will never condemn us. The law will not touch us. The law will not strike us. If we die, we're safe. If we die, we're forgiven. If we die, we're brought to the kingdom of God in heaven because of our Savior. But when we read the law as Christians, two things happen. One, I hope, this is my main desire, that you would become all the more thankful in your heart when you realize how full of sin your life has been, especially before you were saved, and the mercy that Christ had on you. That you would be more thankful. And two, it helps us. When we read the words of God, whether it's in the Old Testament, whether it's in the New Testament, it helps remind us of the things that the Spirit is already teaching us that come very naturally to us as the children of God. It makes it all the more focused and clear how we can imitate Christ. So let's start. Verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. We've read, if you look at 13, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. These are sins against man. Honor your father and your mother, verse 12, sin against man. And there are sins against God. We know the greatest command, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first command, have no other gods before me. The second command, verse 4, not to make an idol or a statue and worship this. It's a sin. Not to take his name in vain. Many commands are here. Many commands fill the Bible. But today, we're talking about the sin of lying. Verse 16, false witness. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? Well, like I've said before, every law has a normal meaning and a deeper spiritual meaning. What does this law mean? The normal meaning is what? False witness. This is not just lying. This is a very serious kind of lying. It's as if in each of these, God is picking in the common man's understanding, picking the biggest of the sins. Fighting is a sin. Arguing is a sin. Being angry is a sin. But here, he picks murder. There's many sexual sins. But here, he picks adultery. But when it comes to lying, first, we read, bearing false witness against your neighbor. This is perhaps one of the worst kinds of lying in the natural realm. We'll talk about the spiritual meaning later. First is the natural realm. It means false witness in the realm of court, in a public sphere, in front of the judge, in front of the king. A witness means someone who has seen something. If I go out in the street and there's an accident and I saw that man with his car, he hit the motorcycle and the man died, I'm a witness because I saw it happen. And if the police ask me, did you see what happened? I can say yes. And they'll say, give your testimony. You're a witness? What happened? And the police want to know the truth. Or if someone has been stealing money and I'm their friend and I know what they're doing and I saw what they did, I may have to go to the court and talk to the judge. And he will ask me, as a witness, sometimes in some countries, in some places, you have to swear an oath that you sometimes raise your right hand or put your hand, in America, we put our hand on the Bible. And we swear to tell the truth. It means I'm a witness. I know what happened. I will tell the truth. This man did a crime. Or this man did nothing wrong. He's innocent. And in the scriptures, a witness is very important, very serious. How do you know who did sin and who didn't do sin. The Bible says, on the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact will be confirmed. So imagine this. You have a man. He hates his neighbor. He wants his neighbor to be gone. They're always quarreling. They live side by side. And so this man and his friends, they come up with a story, a bad story about his neighbor. And they tell the police, and they go to the judge, and him and a few of his bad friends, they all say, this man, he's been saying that he's going to kill the king. He's going to kill the prime minister. He's going to assassinate the prime minister. And they make up this story, and they give a false witness. They tell a lie, not a normal lie, but a lie in court, a lie to the judge, a lie to the king. They're giving a false witness against their neighbor, even though he's a good man, he's done nothing wrong, because they want him gone. They want him in jail. Now, we have stories of this in the Bible. That sounds bad. Who would tell a lie in such an evil way to get someone put to death or go to jail? But people will do this. They'll do it for money. They'll do it out of anger and hatred. They're so comfortable telling a lie that even in front of the judge, even in front of the king or the police, they'll speak lies. It's giving false witness. In the Bible, there was a man named Ahab. He was a king. He wanted Naboth's vineyard. He liked the vineyard. It was close to his house, but he wasn't the owner. And his wife was a wicked woman, Jezebel, and she said, let me take care of this. So they had a feast, and in the presence of all of the officials of the village and the city, she hired two wicked men to stand up at the feast while everyone's there. All of the officials are there, and they said, Naboth's a sinner. He cursed God. He cursed the king. And they stoned him to death. It was a false witness. When Solomon was king, two women came, and they're fighting over a baby. You remember this? There were two women, two babies. They were prostitutes. The one baby had died. One baby was alive. And they were telling the king, this baby's mine. No, this baby's mine. Even before the king, one of those women was a false witness. She was lying in the sight of the judge. In Jesus' day, when they wanted to kill Jesus Christ, men were raised up against him by the high priest and by the leaders to give a false witness against Christ. But the problem was they couldn't get their testimony to agree. They kept saying different things, and it sounded very confusing, so it didn't work. But they tried to use a false witness to destroy Christ. So this is the normal meaning. It's telling a lie in a time when you have to swear or take an oath, when you speak to a judge or a king. It means that God delights in justice, just judgment, fairness, peace, truth. God hates lying. God loves the truth. God, the Bible says, it is impossible for God to lie. God is not a liar. Men are liars. The Bible says all men are liars. Though all men are liars, let God be true. God always tells the truth, but men and women tell many lies. Not only in court, not only before a judge, but all throughout their life. And so like I've said before, each of these commands, you can think of it almost like a container. Inside of this, there's many things that you can say or do that are good and evil. Telling the truth or telling a lie. There are many kinds of sins of lying. Not only in the court, not only as a false witness. If you tell any lie, you have sinned against God. Big or small, if you lie and you don't speak the truth, you are a sinner. You're not like God. God would never lie. God loves the truth. What are some examples? First, look at Leviticus 19:11. the next book, Leviticus 19:11. Not only lying in court, but all lying. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely, cheating people money. You shall not lie to one another. You see that? Not just false witness against your neighbor, any lying to any person. You shall not lie to one another. When you become a Christian, you put off lying. The falsehood, that's the old life. The Bible says, outside of God's kingdom, in hell, in the darkness, are many kinds of sinners and everyone who loves and practices falsehood or lying. Proverbs says, the Lord hates seven things. The Lord hates seven things. The first one, haughty eyes, proud eyes. The second one, lying lips. God hates a liar. God hates lying lips. They're outside His kingdom. They're in the darkness, in hell. In Proverbs 24, it says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can go up to heaven? Who will be able to stand in His holy place? He who has clean hands, he who has a pure heart, who has not lifted his soul to falsehood, to a lie, and who has not sworn deceitfully, giving a deceitful oath. The only people that can go to heaven are people that are free from lying, that have been cleansed, that have clean hands, a pure heart, and no lie in their mouth. Any lying makes us disqualified to be the children of God. You know who the liar is? The devil is the liar. If you lie, it's because you belong to the devil. If you are lying, and you are a liar, and your life is full of lies, God is not your father. The devil is your father. Some people, they get it all confused in their mind, and they think, because I go to church, because I say I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. That's not true. Many people, though they go to church, though they're in a Christian family, they tell lies, and it's proof that they're not saved. Not only telling a lie, sometimes people will lie about different things. They'll lie about their name, they'll lie about their age, they'll lie about money, they'll lie about their friends, where they went, what they're doing, what they like, lie about their family, lie about their school, lie to their teachers, lie to their parents. Lots of lying, just directly lying, but not only lying, even misleading someone. Look in James chapter 5. James 5, verse 12. It says this, but above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth, or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Where did James get this teaching? From Jesus. Jesus said the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. He said to say yes or say no, but anything beyond this is evil, is of the evil one. What does he mean? Yes, let your yes be yes and your no be no. There are some people, they are so tricky, they are so deceptive, they can say yes, but they mean no. They can say no, but they really mean yes. Even though they say one thing from this side of their mouth, what they're really thinking, what they're really doing is something else. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. That means honesty, being a simple person. Not trying to confuse people with your words. Not trying to trick people. with your words. Some people are very slippery. It's like you try to grab them and they slip out of your hands. Have you ever tried to hold a fish in your hand? It just slips out of your hand. You can't grab it. Some people are like that. If you try to ask them, what do you mean? What are you saying? Where did you go? What did you do? You never get a clear answer. They're saying many things, but it's not simple. It's not honest. It's not open. There is a way to hide your life and hide your sins and hide your bad habits and hide your faults by saying the truth in a tricky way. And many people do this. You know why most people tell a lie? It's because they're doing other sins in their life. First they steal, and then they lie so that no one knows they stole. First they hate and they're angry, but then they lie to the person's face so they don't know that they hate them and they're angry. Or they do something against God. They do something against their family. They do something they know is wrong, and they don't want to be punished, and they don't want people to think that they're a sinner, so they lie. They put on a false pretense that they're a good person. And so that's why they keep their desires hidden, because they are actually living a sinful life, and so they won't tell you the truth. There are some people, have you ever met someone or known someone or had a friend who, when you talk to them, it's like you cannot trust them. You listen to what they say, they tell you the right answers, but you just have a bad feeling in your heart. They're not being honest with you. You don't know why, you don't know what is really going on, but you know this, they're not open. They're telling lies. Some people, they don't want to look you in the eye. You ask them a very direct, easy question, and they're looking away, and they're saying a big, long answer. They can't say a simple yes or a simple no. The truth is, they're lying. Even if they don't say a lie, even there are some people, they can say the truth and still be lying. They use the truth to lie. A person like that is not saved. They're breaking God's law. When you have that feeling in your heart that you just cannot trust this person, it's usually right. It's usually true. You just get this sick feeling in your stomach, something is not right and I cannot trust what they're saying. Usually that's from the Lord. The Lord is giving you discernment. Some people will fool us with their lies, but many times we sense in our heart, though their words are good, something is not true. Any misleading is a lie. So you ask someone, well, where did you go? I went out. Where is out? You wanted to ask where they went. They said, I went out. Well, I know that. Or you say, well, what were you doing all day? And they said, I had some work. What is some work? You get these answers that are so vague. They're not saying, they're not letting their yes be yes and their no be no. And you can't trust them because they're lying. Or, let's look at Psalm 15. Psalm 15, verse 4. This is another kind of lying. Psalm 15, verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. This is the godly man. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. It means he keeps his promise. He keeps his word. When he makes you a promise, when he swears to do something, he will do it. Even if it ends up costing him, even if it ends up hurting him, and he is a loser because of it, he will still do it because he promised to do it. He keeps his promises. This is one kind of lying, is to promise something with your mouth, to swear to someone to where they depend upon you. They're trusting you. They need you. They're relying on you. And you don't follow through with what you said you would do. How many people are like this in India? They will very quickly say, I will help you. I will come. I will do this work for you. I will give you this salary. I will whatever. But after some time goes by, they don't keep their word. When they first said it, it wasn't a lie because they wanted to do it. But after some time, they changed their mind and they broke their promise. So in the end, they do end up lying to you because they swore to you, they promised to you, and they let you down. It means going back on a commitment. The Bible says, many a man proclaims his loyalty, proclaims his love, but a faithful man who can find? And there are some people, they're just like that. They'll very quickly say, I'm with you. I will help you. I will come. I will follow. I will do this. I will do this work. I will be faithful. But after a few days, they don't keep their word. They've lied. And they're in the habit of doing this, and they're not trustworthy. A person like that, you don't want them working for you. Someone, let's say you hire them to come to your house and do some work, to come to your shop and do some work, but they don't come. Or you have a boss like that. You don't want to work for a man like that. He says he'll pay you the money. He never pays you the money. He's lying to you by breaking his word. There's another kind of sin of lying, and that is hiding the truth. Hiding the truth. You can lie in court. You can lie to your parents. You can lie to your friends. You can lie to God. You can break your word. You can mislead someone and give a very confusing answer to trick them. Those are all lies. There's another kind of lie, and you don't say anything. Your mouth is closed, but you're hiding the truth. You're staying in the dark. Jesus said, "Woe to you Pharisees, hypocrites." Hypocrite means an actor, like in a movie or a stage. They put on clothes, they act like a certain person, but it's not their true identity. Their outside and their inside is different. Woe to you Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup, but on the inside, you're full of sin, full of unclean things, wicked things, lawless things. This is a person, they want people to respect them. They want people to like them. They want people to love them. So they show the good things on the outside. But the sins, who they truly are, their true desires, what they like, what they want, what they're doing in their life, they keep hidden. Keeping things hidden is a form of lying. Now, let me make a clarification. It's not a sin to hide godly things or righteous things. Sometimes a Christian will hide something godly. For example, Jesus said, when you give money, don't let people see you. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Your giving is to be in secret. That's hidden. But it's a godly thing. You're not hiding sin. That's fine. Or in the Bible, some places, sometimes, there's so much persecution on Christians, they have to hide their church, underground church, secret church. So you have a meeting, but you don't tell the police where you're meeting and what you're doing, because if you do, they'll put all of your church members in jail. They're not hiding, they're not going to someone's house and making counterfeit money or selling drugs. They're worshiping God in their house, but it's a secret. It's hidden. That's okay. Or you have something you want to do to help someone. Maybe a person is very discouraged, or maybe you're going out to share the gospel, but you don't go around announcing to the world all the ways that you help people because you don't want to be arrogant or proud. These are good things to hide. On Judgment Day, the hidden things of the Christian life that you did that no one ever knew that were good will come into the light, and you'll be rewarded for this. But do you know what the lost person does? He hides his sin. A Christian does the opposite. They confess their sin and they hide their righteousness because they're humble. The lost man, he shows his righteousness as much as possible and he hides his sin. On Judgment Day, the Bible says, God will judge the secrets of men through Jesus Christ. Every secret sin will come out into the open. It's a sin to cover up your sin. It's putting on a lie to the world, putting on a lie to God, trying to make yourself look good, trying to be accepted by Christians, trying to be accepted by the church, trying to be accepted by your family. The Bible says, confess your sin. Speak it, forsake it, get rid of it. It's like poison. If you keep it in you, you will die. You must vomit the poison. You must get it out of your life. Lost people, they lie to God and they lie to themselves when they hide their sin. Listen, the worst sin you've ever done, the many sins throughout your life, from the time you were a little boy or a little girl until now, they will all come out on Judgment Day. The things that were spoken in a whisper in the dark will be proclaimed in front of the world. Every secret greed, every secret lust, every secret pride, every secret anger and hatred, all of the sin, there will be no more lying on Judgment Day. The truth will be known. Men try to clean the outside of the cup now, but they don't clean the inside. They're liars. That's why they cover their sin. The psalm says, you bring our secret sins into the light of your presence. That happens at conversion. And it will happen even for the lost on Judgment Day. Hiding sin. It will be brought to the light. You can fool people now, but you won't fool anyone then. This is the normal meaning of lying. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever tried to hide your sin? If so, then you need to realize you are guilty. You're not a child of God. You're bound, headed for hell. Because God is a God of truth. And if you're a liar, then you'll have no fellowship with Him. You must be forgiven of every sin, of every lie you've ever told, of every time you've tried to deceive people and cover sin and stay in the dark. You need forgiveness. It is against the law of God. God wants you to be honest. God wants you to confess. God wants you to tell the truth. What is your name? Where do you live? Who are you? What are you doing? God wants you to speak the truth. You need forgiveness for your sins. You need Jesus Christ to wash you from this sin. Now let's go a little deeper. What is the deeper meaning of giving false witness or lying? I think one thing we can learn is this. It is to be a false witness of your true spiritual condition. Let's go to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. This is the non-Christian. Maybe they're Hindu, maybe they're Muslim, maybe they're Buddhist, maybe they're nothing, they're atheist. This is what they think. This is their condition. Verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Or look at verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You see this? Verse 8 and verse 10. Some people think they have no sin. I've talked to people on the street, and they have told me, I have not ever done a sin. I have no sin. If you say you have no sin, what does the Bible say? You deceive yourself, and the truth is not in you. If you think you're a good person, if you think you're righteous, and that you're not a sinner, you are a liar. You have sinned just now. If you say, I'm not a sinner, I don't have sin, you sinned just now when you said that, because you are lying. You're lying to yourself. You're fooling yourself. Every person has fallen short of the glory of God. Every person has broken the law. Every person has done bad things. We're all sinners. You must confess your sin. There is a way to be a false witness. False witness means I see something, I know something, I will give my testimony. And there are some people, they would stand up in God's court and say, I have no sin. I'm a good man. I've never done anything wrong. They gave false witness about themselves. They don't understand their life. They don't understand their heart. They don't have the truth. They don't have the truth. Or verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, something else, we make him a liar. Who is him? God. If you say you are not a sinner and you have no sin and you're not going to hell and you're not a bad person and you're not an evil person, you make God a liar. Because God says you are a sinner. God says you are going to hell. God says, I will destroy you and destroy this whole world. And you say, no, there is no God, and I'm not a sinner, and there is no hell, and this world won't be destroyed. Life is good. You have called God a liar. You have called the Bible a lie. Not only do you lie to yourself, but now you make God a liar. But God is not a liar. You must understand your own condition. You must give a true witness. You must speak the truth about your own life. It's very important. At the very beginning, one of the first steps that you take to come to Christ, to be saved, to be a Christian, a true Christian, is you have to say the truth about who you are. You have to stop lying. You have to be honest. If you go to the jail in Guwahati, and you go to one of the rooms, let's say there's 30 men in one room, you talk to those men and you say, why are you here? What did you do? What bad thing, what crime did you do? You know what will happen? 99% of the men will lie to you. And they'll say, I didn't do anything. I was falsely accused. It was a false testimony against me. This man didn't like me, so he falsely accused me, and I'm in jail. The judge didn't understand. They'll make excuses, and they will tell you they did nothing wrong. Or they'll try to say it in such a way to make their sin look acceptable. I did this, but it wasn't wrong because of this. And they'll give an excuse. It's amazing, but the people in jail, because they're not Christians, because they're lost, if you ask them what crimes they've done, they won't tell you. They will lie to your face, and they will justify themselves. And they would make the government or the police or the society look bad before they will look bad. But do you realize that's what everyone does with God? Everyone is just like that. They're a criminal, but they don't want to confess their sin. They don't want to be honest. They're still making excuses, hiding their true condition. Have you ever seen a peacock? In India, the peacock is the national animal, the bird, and very beautiful. But they have a problem. The peacocks are very proud, and they spread their feathers, and they strut around. It's amazing. If you watch a peacock, they like to be looked at. They like the attention to be on them. That's what man is like in his heart. He's proud. He wants people to look at him and think that I'm good, I'm beautiful, I'm clean, I am righteous. People are proud, so they don't speak the truth about their own sin. But there's another kind of false witness, false testimony. Look in verse 6. This is the false Christian. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If you say you are a Christian, but you live a life full of sin, you're a liar. You're breaking God's command. When you say, I'm a Christian, that's a lie. You're not a Christian. And you need to stop lying. There are many people, with their mouth, they'll say, oh, I love God. I believe in Jesus Christ. It's false. They're liars. Because they are still living in their sin. They're still their old man. You know, there is a true Christian and there is a false Christian. False Christians, many times, they will lie. And in front of the church or in front of society, they will take baptism or they will take the Lord's Supper or they will sing the songs and clap their hands. But it's a lie. They're liars. What right does a false Christian have to take the name of Jesus Christ in their mouth? Do you realize that's a sin? To say that I love God and yet to love the world is a lie. It's a sin. It's not true. And some people, they live their whole life deceived, telling other people they're saved, but they're not saved. Telling other people they're born again, but they're not born again. It is the spiritual meaning of this law, not to bear false witness. Don't say you're a Christian if you're not a Christian. If you've not been changed by the power of God, if you've not been forgiven by the blood of Christ, don't go around telling people you're a Christian. You will make it worse for yourself. You'll make it worse on the true Christians. The Bible says a false Christian is like a wolf in sheep's clothing. They have the clothing of a sheep, the wool of a sheep, but inside they're a wolf. They have the heart of a wolf, the teeth of a wolf. The Bible says there's a good tree, the true Christian, and there's a bad tree, the false Christian. You know what a lot of people do? Their life is like the bad tree. But and they're like a dead tree with no fruit. But you know what they do? It's like they go to the market and they buy apples and they tie the apples onto the branches of the tree. They try to talk like a Christian. They try to walk like a Christian. They try to act like a Christian, but they're lying. That fruit did not come out of their heart. It didn't come from their life. It's tied onto the tree. They're putting on a good appearance. They're like the Pharisees, but they're not saved. Beware. Be careful. I don't want anyone in this church to be a false Christian because all false Christians go to hell. All false Christians will be far from God on Judgment Day. You can fool me. You can fool Christians. You can fool the church sometimes, but no one will ever fool God. Most of the time, you don't fool the church. Most of the time, the true Christians feel very bad in their heart when they're around a false Christian. But this is one kind of sin, to say that you're saved when you're not. Many people, they learn the language of Christianity. As I've said before, it's very easy to say, well, by the grace of God, I'm doing well. How are you, brother? It's been a long time. Well, by the grace of God, I'm doing well. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. People will say Christian words, but they don't know Christ. You go to shake someone's hand, they give you the Christian greeting. You come into church, they sing the songs. They pray the Lord's Prayer. They learn the language, but their heart is like the lost man's heart. There are many people, they don't have a true personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a relationship with a false Jesus, but not the true Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. And they just assume that everyone is like them. That either, well, we say that there's a deep relationship, but nobody really has that, so I'm okay. Or they assume that everyone's Jesus is as shallow and as small as their own false Jesus. But it's a lie. This is the sin. Now, I want to say one more thing. God never lies. If you read this Bible, it's all true. All of the stories are true. They happened. Everything Jesus said is true. This book is full of truth. If you know this book, if you follow this book, you will never run into error and lies from the Bible. It is like a light in the darkness. This world, you cannot believe or trust anything in this world. There are so many lies in the world, in your own heart, in your family, in society. God is our source of truth. Jesus, He is the Son of God. He Himself is fully God. He never lied. When He came to the earth, He always said what was right and what was true. Jesus said this, I am the truth. That's amazing. Not only does He always speak the truth, He says, I am the truth. You want truth? It's me. If you know me, you know truth. You have truth. If you don't have me, you're in the dark. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of speaking the truth, of finding the truth, of showing the truth. He always spoke boldly the truth, even if it got Him in trouble, even if it brought Him into danger. He had no sin to hide with a lie. He had no sin to cover up. He was not ashamed of who He was or His Father in heaven. He came to the world to testify to the truth. And He said, I am the truth. If you follow the devil is a liar. I spoke about this a little bit last week, but listen, all of the other religions are false. Hinduism is false. Islam is false. They're teaching you a lie. And if you believe them, you believe a lie. And if you teach them, you are spreading a lie. Beware of false religion, false teachers, false prophets. Outside of Jesus Christ is the darkness. He is the light. He is God. He is the truth. You follow anyone else, you're following a lie. You follow your parents, you follow the world, you follow your teachers. They cannot show you the truth. Christ shows us who God is, shows us who we are, that we are evil, that we are sinners, that we need to be saved. He shows us heaven. He shows us hell. He shows us the kingdom of God. Look to Christ for the truth. Now I'm finished. Let me give some application. My first advice, my first application is this. for those that are lost. If you're not lost, this is not for you. If you're a Christian, I'm not talking to you. But if you're lost, if you've ever lied, realize you have broke the law of God. Men lie so much, children lie so much, that we think it's normal. It's not normal. In heaven, there's no lying. No liar can go to heaven. You need forgiveness for your lying, for your false witness. You need forgiveness. God is a God of truth. If you want to be His friend, you need to be forgiven of all your lies. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the light. If you want to come to Jesus Christ, you need to come out of the darkness. You need to confess your sins. Don't hide your sin. If you keep lying, trying to make yourself look good, you will not be accepted on Judgment Day. Here's another advice. If you're lost, if you think that you are a good person, you're a liar. You're a liar. And even now, if you defend yourself and you say, I'm not that bad, I don't deserve to go to hell, I won't go to hell, God will accept me because I am good, you make God to be a liar. You need to realize you're not good. You are a sinner. You are a lawbreaker. My third piece of advice, if you're not a Christian, if you are a false Christian, realize this. Every false Christian will be discovered and found on Judgment Day. Now, you will not fool the church. God has made the church full of very wise people. And we know from living the Christian life what a false Christian and a true Christian looks like. We read the Bible and it helps us discern. But even if you can, even if somehow you fool the church and you fool the missionary and you fool the pastor, if you are a false Christian, you cannot fool God. You need true salvation. You need to be born again. You need Jesus Christ. Don't pretend to be a Christian. If you know you're not saved, confess it. I've been very thankful because there have been times when in some of our churches back in America, people have confessed after many years, confessed to the church, I'm lost. I've told you all that I'm a Christian, but it's not true. I'm not a Christian. I've never been a Christian. I've just been afraid to tell you, and I've been pretending. Don't pretend. For the saved, this is my advice. This is the application. If you are one of Jesus' saints, if you are one of God's children, thank God for Jesus Christ. Because He loves even sinners. He forgives liars. His blood washes our mouth, washes our record, washes away all of our old lies. We give thanks to Him because He forgives us. You know what's even better than that? We can give thanks to Christ because now we can be totally honest. We don't have any more fear. We don't have any more shame. Even about our old life, we can be honest that we were living in sin. We don't have to hide that because Christ has forgiven us. Because He accepts us, because we've been reconciled to God, now we can finally be honest. The shame is gone. The guilt is gone. The fear is gone. And we can come to the light and we can walk in the light. It's amazing. But this is a sin God, He takes away. When you become a Christian, even if you had a very bad habit before of lying and telling many lies, God will not let this idol stay in your life. He will start to change your mouth. And He will help us to be honest people. Christians are the only really honest people. Honest about who they are. Honest about what the condition of the world is, honest about who God is, honest about everything. We're taught by God to be honest, to speak the truth. The cleaner that a person's life is, the less they have to hide. And so it's a very wonderful life, a life of freedom. We're not hiding anymore. Isn't that right? Those of you that are saved, you're not hiding anymore. You've come out into the open. You can rest in the Lord. You can be humble in Christ. So praise the Lord for His mercy to sinners. Let's pray. Oh, Father, You know the hearts of all men. And I pray, Lord, those that are covering their sin and telling lies, I pray that You would convict them today. I pray that You would make them to tremble before You, our holy God of truth. Lord, I pray that You would save the lost, and I pray that You would build up Your believers. Thank You so much for the cross. Thank You for Jesus, His sacrifice, His blood. Thank You that we are cleansed from all manner of sin and wickedness through the cross of Your Son. Oh Lord, I pray You would make us to be faithful witnesses, true witnesses in this world, those that speak the truth in love. Lord, help us to worship You in spirit and truth. And Father, I pray that in Guwahati and in Assam, You would break the lies of the devil. You would break the falsehood that reigns in these places. Establish Your kingdom in truth. Lord, I pray that You would save false Christians. Cause them to be born again. Cause them to believe in Your Son. I pray that You would save those that are far from You in false religions. Thank You for this day and this time. Thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, for the grace and the gospel. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.